Hey guys, Pastor Jürgen here. I'm so glad you're tuning into one of our powerful messages that is guaranteed to absolutely elevate your life to another level. At Awaken, we only want to preach fresh, real, powerful to help you grow stronger in your walk with God, develop your faith so you can take more territory. I'm praying that God blesses you and enriches your soul as you listen to this amazing word from God. God bless you. Come with me in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 11. The book of John, chapter 11. We're going to read from verse 38. John, chapter 11, verse 38. I want to preach short and I want to pray long, if that's good. I want to just throw four thoughts out there. I did eight this morning, so I think I can get through four. Four thoughts, and then I want to pray for people. So verse 38 says this, "Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb." Came to the tomb. It was a cave. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. So he came to the tomb, period. It was a cave, comma, and a stone lay against it, period. Interesting. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench because he's been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing around me, I said this so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was wrapped in a cloth, and Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." This could be one of my favorite stories in the Bible, one of my favorite resurrection stories. And I just want you to turn your palms towards heaven where you are right now, because we didn't have time to read the preceding verses, but please feel free to do that at home. The Bible says when Jesus rocked up, the commentary was, could not Jesus have turned up earlier and prevented this man from dying because he heals the sick? Couldn't he have prayed for him while he was sick and prevented him from dying? When Martha came to him, Martha said, "You know, Rabbi, if only you would have been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus says, "Your brother will rise again." She goes, I know, you know, he'll rise again on the last day, in the resurrection, at the last day. And Jesus said, whoa, sweetie, I am the resurrection and the life. Where I go, resurrection goes. And then the Bible says the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests were looking at Jesus and they were murmuring amongst themselves, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have also prevented this man from dying? I say all of that to say this, that We, for whatever reason on earth, have kind of taken a vote without including God. We didn't tell God he was invited to the committee hearing, but we formed a committee, we had a hearing, and we all decided that from now on, from henceforth, the Lord shall be known as the preventionist. Lord, we want you to prevent bad things from happening. If you ever listened to the Andrea Bocelli, and I think it might be Celine Dion, The Prayer, it's basically, you know, God, you know, please prevent bad things from happening so we can get on with our life and you just get on with whatever you do. But God, if you can, it'd be nice if you just kind of prevented a few bad things from happening to us so we can kind of get on with. But that's, nowhere in the Bible does God say I'm a preventionist. Nowhere does God say I'm a preventionist. Now, he's an interventionist. He will intervene, but he's a resurrectionist. And I say that to say this, and that's why I set you up. So again, get your palms ready. I say all that to say this, that there are people here and literally the word that has spun in your head and maybe it's been spun in your circle is that, man, if couldn't God have stopped this? Man, if only God, I wish God, what,
Why wasn't God there? How come God didn't stop this from happening? But I hear God say that I am the resurrection and the life. And there are things that maybe you've quit on, or things that you've given up on, or things that you just thought, that's too painful, that's too difficult. But I hear today we are in a resurrect series, and God is going to bring resurrection. The Jews believed that for 3 days the spirit or the soul hung around on earth, but by the fourth day it went to heaven or hell. And so when Jesus turns up on the fourth day, he was doing it to stick it to their theology, because they said it's impossible. He said, Lazarus come forth, and Lazarus came out. They had to go back to the drawing board and rewrite all of their theology and doctrine manuals. I'm telling you, whatever you have, whatever box you've put God in, he's greater than. For some of you, it might be the dream of getting married, or the dream of being engaged, or the dream of starting a business, or the dream of owning your own home, or the dream of having a family. Don't quit on it. Turn your palms towards heaven. Just take a moment with God and understand he is not the preventionist. He's the resurrectionist, and he can bring resurrection like that. Somebody say amen. I just even hear God saying he's bringing families that are estranged back together, where there's been strife and turmoil. I see God working in that, bringing things back together. Amen. All right, that's just a bonus point. That's not the point. I got four, okay, so don't make it, well, that's one, you've got three to go. No. So point number one is, don't turn caves into tombs. Don't turn. In verse 38, it says, then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb, period. And it says, it was a cave. Well, hang on, make up your mind. Is it a tomb or is it a cave? It says, Jesus came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Therefore, the engineer in me tells me that the way to construct a tomb is find a cave, and then just roll a stone over the entrance, and thou hast a tomb. But isn't it interesting that Lazarus was in a tomb that was a cave, and the first thing Jesus says is, take away the stone. I need you to understand that Jesus has, he's like, yeah, I don't like, I don't, no, no. If every grave that Jesus was around, he ruined, just so you know. He ruined his own grave. There's a guy who's demonized hiding in the graves. Jesus cast the demons out into the swine. Here he goes to Lazarus, ruins that tomb. So Jesus is a tomb dismantler. Death was never on the agenda. Death was never part of the plan for you and I. And so Jesus, but the first thing he does is he says, take away the stone. Take away the stone. What is a stone? A stone in the Bible is a law or a judgment. Is a law or a judgment. How many people here, I'm still waiting for permission. Like, I love to tell everybody, I lead my family. I lead my wife, Will Turner. But I'm still trying to get permission to have a man cave. I don't have a man cave. And she reckons I disappear often enough as it is. And so, but I don't have a man cave. And so, you know, but we've all heard, you know, that's his man cave. And he goes into the man cave and he's watching the football, or he's watching the basketball, you know, March Madness, whatever it is. And he's in his man cave. And it's true that men retreat into caves. David hid in the cave of Adullam when Saul was trying to kill him. Elijah, when Jezebel threatened him, he went out and we find him in a cave. The cave isn't the issue. The cave is a place where you process. A cave is a place where you retreat. But when we roll a stone over the entrance of the cave, we can turn that cave into a tomb. And there are so many people, they went into a cave, but they never came out of the cave. They went into their depression, but they never came out of their depression. They went into the pain of their loss, their divorce, but they never surfaced. They never came out again. They went into the pain of the betrayal, but they never came out with forgiveness, forgiving the guilty. And they're still in the, and the stone is bitterness. The stone is bitter judgments. The stone is unforgiveness. The stone is where where was God? The stone is, it's over. The stone is, I'm never going to get married again. The stone is, I'm never going to trust another man. The stone is, you know, you can't go into business with Christians. You people are going to rip you off. The world is unfair. California's too expensive to hide. What stone have you rolled over your cave? The cave is where we retreat in disappointment. We retreat there in disappointment. The first thing I want to say to you, El Cajon, the first thing I want to say to you, East County people, is understand this, that God is no respecter of persons. That means God does not love me more than he loves you. That means that God doesn't bless me more than he blesses you. Now, you might take, hang on, whoa, hang on, not so fast, Pastor. Like, we look at your life, you're pretty darn blessed. And I think that you're blessed more than me. And now you're up there piping off saying God is no respecter of persons. Well, hang on, slow down. Let me just say this. God is no respecter of persons. If there's more blessing in my life than yours, it's simple. God is no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of his principles. I've just made a decision that I'm going to have more and more, I'm going to be more and more obedient to his principles in my life. The more you adopt of God, the more that you will find his blessing rests on obedience, on faithfulness. When you apply his principles into your life, you will find the blessing of God rests there. So can I just say to you, dismantle whatever tomb you've been living in. The tomb was a cave with a stone laying against it. And the first thing Jesus says is, take away the stone. Get rid of that stone. Get rid of that unforgiveness. Get rid of that bitterness. Get rid of that it can't be done. Get rid of that impossible. Get rid of that judgment. You said, I'm never going to trust again. I'm never getting married. I'm never going to step out again. I'm never going to trust. Whatever that stone is, it's hopeless. Now, you don't understand. The doctors have said, whatever that's, roll away the stone. Roll away the stone. In fact, I think they even said, take away. Take away the stone. Take away the stone is the first thing. Well, that's, don't turn, well, take away the stone is point number two. So I guess we kind of already got through that one. So let's go to point number three. Man, I'm doing better than I thought. That just kind of flowed. I'm going to pray in a second. This is good. We need to expedite this message. So go down here. Go down to verse 39. So when Jesus says, take away the stone, I love Martha. Martha is like, no, Lord, whoa, what are you doing? He's like, take away the stone. She's like, Jesus, you may be unaware, but we are in the Middle East. And this is the year 30. And they haven't invented air conditioning and ventilation yet. My brother has been dead 4 days, cuatro. And by now there'll be a stench. If you roll away the stone, what's going to come out of there is a stench. The stench of a decomposing corpse is going to come out of there. And I love Jesus. He turns to her and he said, Martha, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? See, she believed that what she was going to see was the stench and everyone, turning their noses and their stomachs. She believed, but Jesus says, no, I need you to go to another level of believing. I need you to believe my word. I need you to believe my promises. I need you to believe God's power. I need you to believe what God has said. The world will tell you that seeing is believing, but we don't got time to wait till we see it to believe it. If you read the book of Acts and the Gospel of Luke, they were written by the same author. Luke, the physician, wrote both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, he says, most excellent Theophilus was the guy he was writing both the letters to. Most excellent Theophilus. The former account that I made, I thought it would be expeditious for me to write the subsequent book of the things that Jesus began to do and to teach. I didn't say that Jesus began to teach and to do. It says the things that Jesus began to do and to teach. Jesus didn't teach his way into doing. He did his way into teaching. The reason he had to do and then teach is because he did it. No one understood it. Then he had to explain it. If you read your Bibles, which we encourage, you will find Jesus does stuff, and the disciples are like, how did you just? And so then he had to teach. So Jesus, but if he waited for the disciples to get it, now do you all get it? Because I want to walk on the water. Hang on, one more time. So hang on, we did physics. How, like anatomically, a human body, he didn't wait for them to get it. He just did it. He just kind of, you know, walked on water. He did the walking first and then he explained it afterwards. And if you, that's why I love the disciples, because for 3 years they're just scratching their heads. They didn't get it. So Jesus will do something and then he'll explain it afterwards. This is important because Jesus says, if you will believe, you'll see. The world tries to trip you up. The devil tries to, he's the architect of this world. He will try and tell you, no, wait till you see it, then believe it. And you'll see so few miracles. I've made a decision that if God says it, I'm going to believe it, and that settles it. And I've got to tell you, there are times where I just chose to believe God's word and stepped out. Wow! Make a decision this year. In fact, close your eyes, turn your palms again to heaven. Once you roll away the stone, the devil will say, hang on, whoa. If you roll away the stone, no, what's going to come out of there? You haven't forgiven that person. What's going to come out is pain. What's going to come out of stench? By now there's a great stench. He's been dead 4 days. I don't know if you roll away that stone, you're going to get your hopes up again, only to get shattered again. Leave the stone there. The devil's going to try and talk you into leaving that stone again. No, it's too expensive. You already lost your deposit. You know, interest rates are too high. San Diego's too expensive. No. Whatever you've given up on, I want you to roll away the stone. But as you roll away the stone, I want you to now choose to believe. Choose to believe God. Choose to believe the promises of God. Do you know the Bible says that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus? So what does that mean? That means if I'm a Christian, if I've received Christ in my life, I am in Christ. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, hang on. I kind of cussed the other day. Yeah, it didn't say there's a caveat. If you cuss, then it's disqualified. No, it's annulled. No. Well, hang on. I cut someone off on the freeway and flipped them the bird. No, it doesn't say that if you flip someone the... Now, we don't recommend that you do that, okay? But it doesn't... If any man be in Christ, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Well, hang on. Are you saying that God will bless me even if I'm not good? Let me just say this. God loves you when you're good. God loves you when you're not so good. God even loves you when you're bad, and he still loves you when you're downright rotten. Your performance doesn't affect his love for you. Your performance doesn't affect his love for you. And if any man be in Christ... The Bible says all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So if you know that you're in Christ and whatever you're about to ask God for will turn, he's about to say yes, amen. Do you know what amen means? Jared, what does it mean? It means let it be done. So be it. Let it be so. So God is like, yes and amen. Yes and let it be so. So just, I want you to take a 10 seconds, 15 seconds, 30 seconds, and just begin to ask God, what are you believing God for? Excuse me. If you know that the answer with God is yes and amen, what are you believing God for 2024? What are you believing God for? Just ask him now. Jesus said to Martha, if you will believe, can I tell you my biggest battle is believing? Satan has created the culture of the world to be one of unbelief, to be one of cynicism, to be one of narcissism, to be one of negativity, to be one of skepticism, to be one of hopelessness and despair and anxiety and fear. And none of those things come from God. All of those things are the nemesis of God. They're the nemesis of God's words. Believe today. What sort of things are you believing God for? It can be for your children. It can be for your finances. Believe God. Yes, God, I believe that you want to bless me. I believe that we can buy a home. I am telling you This is what I did from the moment I landed here in San Diego. And all the naysayers says, well, welcome to San Diego. It's a preacher's graveyard. Welcome to San Diego. If you want to be spirit-filled, you know, don't expect a big church. Biggest spirit-filled church back then was 300 people. There'll never be a big spirit-filled church in San Diego. It's a Calvary Chapel stronghold. Oh, and by the way, there's no zoning in San Diego for churches. So just give up on ever owning a building. You'll never own a building. And even if you found a building, you need to understand you're at the back of the line because there are so many other churches who have been here renting a lot longer than you. And so if a building does come available with zoning for a church, then there's a lot of people ahead of you. And don't also forget that San Diego is the fifth most expensive commercial real estate, and so it's very expensive. So I would just probably give up on. So I just thought, you know what? I don't have time to listen to that. I'm going to instead choose to believe God. That my Bible says, what is impossible with men is possible with God. What is impossible with men is. Sometimes you just got to make the choice that I'm going to go with God. I'm going to go with God on this one. The doctor said I can't have a baby, but I'm going to go with God on this one. The expert said I'll never get married again. I'm going to go with God with this one. The people said my marriage is too far gone. I'm going to go with God on this one. The people say all the money I lost, I'll never recover. I'm going to go with God on this one. The experts say that I can't get a bank. I'm going to go with God on this one. They say my student credit loans are too. I'm going to go with God. Go with God. What are you believing God for? Come on. Why don't you just take 10 seconds and give God a praise in faith that you're believing for those things. Believing for those things. Amen. Amen. All right. Quick. We've got to pray. So then they roll away the stone. Jesus prays, Father, I thank you. You hear me. I know that you always hear me. I'm saying this for these guys so that they may believe that you sent me. Verse 43. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice. Everyone say loud voice. He cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, I love that. That's probably my favorite part of this whole story. Because Lazarus is dead. D-E-D, dead. And Jesus is like, Lazarus, come forth. He's dead. Like, you're almost like waiting, spot of bother, old man. I'm slightly dead, or at least dead-ish, darling. Like, can the dead hear? They're dead. So, Jesus, watch this, does not give Lazarus a pass. You would think the one person who is going to get, I mean, my daughter, I continually get messages from the school that Zoe was tardy again. Zoe's missed way too many classes. She's had way too many sick days. Oh, dear Jesus. I mean, you would think that if somebody could get a tardy, if somebody could get a sick, a hall pass to not respond to Jesus, it's the guy's dead for 4 days. Like, if there's one person that doesn't have to respond to the word of God, surely it's. But Jesus expects a dead man to respond to his word. Lazarus, come forth. And people are like, are you there yet? And the Bible says he was dead, came out. Now, his face was wrapped in a cloth. How did he know where to go? How did he know where to go? He would have followed two things, voice and light. Voice and light. Genesis 1:3, first time we see God's voice in the Bible, what did he say? Let there be light. If God does not give an exemption to a dead man from obeying his voice, what excuse do you and I have? I have found that no matter how painful, no matter how difficult, I can't tell you how many times God says, I want you to forgive him. I want you to give this amount in an offering. I want you to pay for this person's debt. I want you to buy this person. God, I didn't even know that person. buy their groceries. I'm in the, what? I can't tell you how many times God has spoken to me in those moments, but I know this, that if he expected Lazarus, who was dead, to respond to his word, I don't got any excuse. I need to respond, and every single time a miracle will take place on the other side. Did you know that it's literally just the voice of God? Now watch this. This is the best part. I want you to notice from the story that Jesus didn't go into the tomb and lay hands on Lazarus. He didn't go into the tomb and pray, Father, you know, I'm here with Lazzy who's dead. Come on, God, show everybody how awesome you are. Like he didn't even pray. Like he didn't even go in. He didn't even lay hands or anything. Didn't spit and make mud and throw it on Lazarus like he did with the blind guy. He stands out here and says, Lazarus, come forth. Why that? I ask God why. And if you read the story, we don't have time, but if you go back and read the story, Jesus says to the disciples, Lazarus is sick. And they're like, well, we should go. And he says, well, actually, we've got things to do. And then 3 days later, and they're a day journey away, so that's why it makes it 4 days, Jesus says, okay, Lazarus has fallen asleep. We're going to go there, and we're going to wake him up. And they said, oh, thank God. He's fallen asleep. Thank God. Well, if he's asleep, he'll get better. And Jesus said, no, no, guys, he's dead. And I'm glad for your sake that I wasn't there. But this sickness won't end in death. That's what he said. He said before Lazarus died, he says, this sickness will not end in death. This sickness will not end in death. And then 3 days later, they say, well, actually, he's dead. So you kind of missed it on that one. You kind of got that one wrong. Jesus didn't say he wouldn't die. He just said it wouldn't end there. Because when you're the author and the finisher, he's still got the quill with ink. He's still writing your last chapters. Don't let the devil tell you it's dead. Don't let the devil tell you that, well, no, God's word failed. Jesus didn't say he wouldn't die. He says this sickness will not end in death. So when they put Lazarus in the tomb, you know what was hovering over the tomb? God's word. God is not a man that he should lie. God watches over his word to perform it. Jesus sent his word. Jesus, listen, I have to preach here. I have to minister to here. I can't, I'm stuck in one physical geographical location in this body, so I can't get there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my word. This sickness will not end in death. So he could continue there physically. So when he arrived, roll away the stone. What do you mean there's a stench? Sweetheart, didn't I say to you if you would believe you would see? Lazarus! That's all he had to do. All he had to do was call him. All he had to do was call out. Why? Because he'd already sent his word. His word was already working. His word was already working. Can I just tell you that you're the smartest people in all of East County? Because on a Wednesday night with all that traffic, you came to sit into the house of God. Some of you tonight got water baptized. You're opening your heart to the word of God. When the word of God gets spoken over you, when the word of God gets spoken over, it can look like, man, everything went the exact opposite, but the word is working. The word is hovering. And all it takes is just one moment. It just takes one call. It just takes one response. Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. Because God's word confirms itself. The Bible says that they went out preaching the word with signs and wonders following. Signs and wonders follow the word of God. The devil's number one attack is on the word of God. Jesus was the crucifixion of the word of God. Satan hates the word of God because the word of God whoops him at every single juncture. And I just want you to know tonight, the word of God, it's the word of God. What thing is God been speaking to you about doing? What have you not responded to? What have you not done? What part of the word have you not sent out? One of the things that we do, and God gives us permission to do this, is send the word out over your family. The doctors gave us a word over our eldest son when he was kind of struggling with an addiction, and they said, well, you know, this is the statistics of, you know, and it doesn't look good. And I'm like, well, I'm not living with that word. Why do I want that word hovering over my boy? That's my boy. That's my firstborn. So we got the word of God, and we said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to put this word. God gave you a mouth to you. I put that, and I shot that word out over him, that my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their reward. So we began to speak words over all four of our kids. We began to speak words over our marriage, words over our teams, words over long before this was a church, when it was just a derelict building. Christian Verrilli. What did we do? We came in and we wrote on the floor. We wrote on the walls. We put Bibles in the foundation. We put the Word of God here. That's why every time demons hate this building. They've terror because they know this, that there's words hovering over this building. Do you know when you leave church? You leave church. God doesn't say, "See you next week, I'll be here. Don't turn the air conditioning off. It was cold." Then God doesn't wait. Do you know His Word follows you? His Word follows you home. His Word is with you in the car. It's with you when you go out to eat. It's with you when you go to sleep. It's with you when you tuck the kids in at night. It's with you when you wake them up. It's with you as you go to work the next day. It's the Word of God is hovering. The Word of God never returns to God void. It always accomplishes that for which it was sent forth. God is speaking words over your life. I want you to stand to your feet. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. What are you asking for? What are you asking for? DJ, you and your beautiful bride hold hands. I hear the Lord saying, again, you know, you didn't really want to be Jesus again this year, but you said, yes, I'll do it again. Do it again. And there's a time cost and there's a financial cost and there's a focus cost. But I just hear the Lord say, tell them I'm overtaking them with blessing. Overtaking them with blessing. Before Hero is finished, you will see such a significant bonus, such a significant amount of money come in that you realize, oh my gosh, it's because I said yes to God. God's Word doesn't need anything, doesn't need any help, it doesn't need any support, and you're going to see it come to pass in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. And in you, beautiful daughter, I see God is rekindling and restirring the ministry gifts. The ministry gift. You needed to be a wonderful mama. You're a wonderful mama. You needed that. But even in that, the ministry gift, God just put it on the shelf. He didn't turn it off and He didn't take it away. He just put it and was just idling in neutral. And even as a mama, God, you've let God do things in your heart where you understand the love of God. Oh my gosh, if I love my babies, how much? And so you've had these moments and it's going to flow in your ministry. It's going to flow in your preaching. It's going to be flowing in your care. It's a new day that you're in. Just turn your palms towards heaven. Close your eyes. God's Word does not need any help. God's Word coming to pass in your life does not need any help. What does that mean? In Genesis 1 verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," and light was. God saw the light, that it was good. Everything that comes out of His mouth is always good. And He separated the light from the darkness. The light He called day, the darkness He called night. Evening and morning, first day. That was the first day. 3 days later is the fourth day. On the fourth day, God created the sun, the moon, the stars, and the planets. So that means the sun wasn't the original source of light. Light was there for 3 days before the sun even showed up. Scientists try and tell you, well, you know, the sun is the source of all of our light. But God says, no, there's a reason I spoke in Genesis 1, let there be light. And then I waited 3 days till I created the sun. Just to show people that my Word doesn't need any help. Jesus would need this on the cross. Jesus was taking your sin and my sin upon Himself and going into the grave. He was the firstborn. He was the first fruits. He was going into the grave, but He knew that God's Word, God's promise, doesn't need any help. It doesn't need any motorized. It doesn't need any engineering. It doesn't need any fabrication. For God to bring light, He didn't need a sun. for God to bring resurrection. All he had to do was send out his word. Just lift up your hands high to heaven. There are some people here, and it's almost like you've doubted his word or given up on his word, but I want you to reach up and grab a hold of God's word and understand God's word over you doesn't need any help. He spoke to a woman who was 89 who had gone through menopause, had not had her cycle in years. This time next year, you're going to be a mama. And she laughed. She said, how can this be? How will I know that pleasure in my old age? Are you kidding me? I'm 89. On her 90th birthday, she nursed her little baby boy, Isaac, Yitzhak. Do you know what Yitzhak means in Hebrew? Yitzhak means laughter, because she couldn't stop laughing at the impossible. God's word doesn't need help. God's word needs, no, it has its own power source. Father, I thank you for your word over these lives. I thank you for your word over these beautiful people. The verse finishes that Lazarus came out bound, hand and foot, his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to the disciples, loose him and let him go. Those of you that got baptized tonight, you've come out of your grave. You've come out of your old life, and your hands may still be bound to a few habits. Your feet may still be bound to going to a few old places and old connections and old relationships. And you may not yet have a vision or any idea of what God has for you. But discipleship is the unraveling of your hands, teaching you how to lift holy hands to the Lord, teaching you how to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, unraveling your feet so that every place the sole of your foot shall tread, God is going to give you, that you understand authority, that God is going to crush Satan, the Bible says, under your feet. He will soon crush Satan under your feet. Your feet are authority. You're going to learn to walk in authority. You're going to learn to take territory. And then he's going to, in this church, they're going to remove the cloth and you're going to get vision. You're going to get a vision for your marriage, a vision for your family, a vision for your health, a vision for your freedom, a vision for your future, a vision to be the head and not the tail, above only, not beneath. Say these words. Say, Heavenly Father, tonight I thank you that you are a resurrectionist. And tonight I walk in resurrection power. Tonight I declare all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So, Father, what I ask for, I know you've already given me your yes. So tonight I choose to believe, so that I might see. Holy Spirit, my helper, help me to see. Help me to believe. Help me to believe so that I can see. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, what an amazing word. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hey, listen, for more information about our church, go to www.awakenchurch.com. Or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already, and download our app. It is amazing. It is chock full of incredible messages, information about upcoming events, and you can even support our ministry if you feel so inclined. We loved having you with us today. We look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Live a life that is transformative. Bye for now.